So finally, one of the devotees was acting as an atheist. In the course of the argument, he challenged. He said, "But why are you calling us rascal?" And Srila Prabhupada immediately said, "Because I love you, and because I can't see you take another birth and suffer in this material world. That's why I'm chastising you. I want you to go back to Godhead. Understand, you rascal?" Again, Srila Prabhupada said. So this is Srila Prabhupada's love and compassion that is instructing us through these purports. Because this is the mood of all acharyas. If you see, Vidura, he went to Uddhava. He wanted to hear about Krishna, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes. And Uddhava, out of humility, said, "You should go and take instructions from Maitreya Rishi. He is my senior." So now Vidura has come to Maitreya Rishi with the specific agenda of wanting to hear about Krishna and wanting to know more about Krishna. But what is his mood? How does he begin the conversation? What are the first things he asks? Sukhaya karmani karoti loko nate sukam va nyaditaramam va vindeta bhuyat tat eva dukham yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. He's saying, "My dear Maitreya Rishi, I am amazed that in this world people are working hard for sukha. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. Everybody in this world is working hard for sukha. But look at the irony. Nate sukham vanyad itaramamba. They don't get any sukha. There is no positive happiness. So what they do then, they say, "Okay, I cannot experience positive happiness. At least let me mitigate my existing suffering. Uparamam." But that also doesn't happen. The goal is positive happiness. But that doesn't come. So then our next target becomes, okay, at least let me remove the suffering that I'm going through. Let me get relief, some relief. If not positive happiness, some relief let me get. Uparamam. That also doesn't come. And what happens? Vindeta bhuyat tata eva dukkham. On the contrary, a person experiences more dukkha, more suffering. What an irony, isn't it? On the one hand, we are endeavoring to get more and more sukha, but we don't get it. We want relief. That also doesn't come. And then we want at least not to get some dukkha, but we get more and more dukkha. Yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. Oh, Maitreya Rishi, please tell why this is happening. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Vidura wanted to approach Maitreya Rishi with this agenda. He wanted to know about Krishna in detail. But Vidura knows that common man, he cannot understand about God. And he is going through so much tribulations and sufferings common persons are going through. So that they can understand, so that Vidura can connect to them, he is asking this question. Why they are suffering so much? Prabhupada says you could have directly asked about Krishna's form, pastimes. And then Vidura himself gives the answer in the next verse. Why people are suffering like this? Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Devat Adharmashilasya sudukkitasya anugrahayeha charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. He says the main reason is janasya krishnad vimukha. They have become vimukha. They have turned away from Krishna, and therefore deva, the external energy of Krishna, takes over. And adharmashilasya, they become devotees of adharma, irreligious activities. And sudukkitasya, continuously they suffer. And therefore, a pure devotee like yourself, O Maitreya Rishi, anugraye acharanti nunam, out of compassion and wanting to deliver these fallen souls, you are roaming around the planet. Bhutani bhavyani janardanas, you are glorifying Krishna. So this is the activities of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada and Narad Muni. They are going around instructing people, sometimes chastising them, sometimes encouraging them, but with an agenda that they can become happy, they can come out of the suffering condition and glorify Krishna. That is why they do so much tireless service. Recently, I came to know something very interesting, about the background in which Srila Prabhupada was writing these translations. Like, I knew that 10th canto Prabhupada wrote during his last days. But specifically in the 9th and 10th chapter, which we are reading now, about Krishna stealing butter and being born by Mother Yashoda. Such a rasik, such a sweet pastime of Krishna, childhood Krishna. But do you know what is the background? What is happening in Srila Prabhupada's life at that moment and what is happening in ISKCON? Then we can understand what is Prabhupada's compassion. Now this translation Prabhupada wrote in the third and fourth last week of May 1977. When Srila Prabhupada was about, he thought he was going to leave his body. He had come to Vrindavan. He was in Bombay overseeing the construction of the temple and his health deteriorated. So the governor of Gujarat, Sriman Narayan, he came there. He met Srila Prabhupada. And then he said, "Oh Swamiji, your health is going down so much. You should go and take rest somewhere." And Srila Prabhupada laughed. He said, "Oh, this is an old machine. The more you repair this machine, the more it gets spoiled. So no point. Anyway, the service is going on nicely." And then he suggested, "You should go to Rishikesh, Haridwar, somewhere, Kashmir. In the month of summer, these places are cool." Then Prabhupada agreed to go to Rishikesh. And in Rishikesh, one day there was a huge cyclone and it was the harbinger of the monsoon season. So, and electricity went off, Prabhupada's health became very bad. And Prabhupada thought he's going to leave his body. So he told his devotees that, "I think I'm going to die now. Take me to Vrindavan." Middle of the night, 1:30. So immediately, few devotees, they arranged a car. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. And they left Rishikesh. So when they came to Vrindavan, devotees were waiting there to greet Prabhupada. And there was huge kirtan and then Prabhupada entered the temple hall. All devotees are surrounding him. Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasana and Prabhupada said, "If death has to come, let it come here in Vrindavan." And devotees started crying because they didn't expect Srila Prabhupada would say this. And then Prabhupada said, "What is there to worry? This body we have to give up one day. Let us glorify Krishna. Kirtir yasena jivati. One who glorifies Krishna always remains alive." So like that, he pacified the devotees. Then he went back and he continued his translations. And at that time, Prabhupada got the news that in Mayapur, 50 Muslims, they attacked the campus and they destroyed everything and they beat up devotees and devotees were arrested by the police and Bhavanand Prabhu was put in jail. And such a shocking news, you know, Srila Prabhupada was completely, sad. He was very sad to hear this news. And the next few days, so many reports were coming. Then Hindustan Times headlines was shown to Prabhupada, which said how devotees beat up a cow and they were beating up villagers, innocent villagers. So the police arrested them. They are in jail. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Prabhupada, this is all wrong news. Why will devotees beat cows? They will protect cows." And like this back and forth. And finally, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj and Jayapataka Maharaj came and they gave the actual report what had happened. That these 50 people had entered the campus and they were stealing the rice crops. And when Nitai Chand Prabhu tried to stop them, they beat him up and they cut his head his head was bleeding in few places. And then they entered the campus and they beat up different men. They stripped one Mataji and then they broke all the electric wires, water tanks. And then to defend themselves, Bhavanand Prabhu used a gun and he fired a bullet at them. Then they all ran. There were not 50. 50 of them went and bought 250 more. There were 300 people who attacked. It was a messy thing. And then when devotees went to complain to the police, police came 2 hours later and police said, "You should come to Krishnanagar and complain." So when they went to Krishnanagar police station, instead of registering their complaint, all the devotees were arrested. And Bhavanand Prabhu was paraded through the streets of Navadvip. It was such a wrong reporting by the media. And when Prabhupada heard the whole report, he started crying. And then he started addressing, as if the devotees were sitting in front of him, he started speaking. He said, "Oh my dear devotees, please know that Krishna will protect you. Please have faith, don't give up faith. Prahlad Maharaj was persecuted by Hiranyakashipu, but he kept faith. Please have faith. Haridas Thakur was bet in 22 marketplaces." And Prabhupada cried, thanked the devotees, prayed for the devotees. Then he came back to his desk and continued translating. So when I read that, I was amazed that, you know, this is what is happening around. And Prabhupada is translating and then Satsarupa Maharaj writes in the Lilamrita. And the 9th and 10th chapter was translated during this intense situations going on in the background. But this is the pure devotee. His service is so absorbed in giving Krishna to others. And he knows this material world is nasty. Always challenges, always suffering, but he's absorbed in Krishna. And therefore, even when we read sometimes some chastising verses, we should know this is his compassion. He is overflowing with compassion. Therefore, a pure devotee implores all the conditioned souls to accept Krishna. There is ample evidence. Open your heart, open your mind to see how Krishna is working in this world. this mudha, which is being elaborated in today's verse, foolish person. This is also very nicely explained by Kunti Devi in her prayers. Now, somebody may think Krishna is the nephew of Kunti. That's what we were thinking. In the sense, that's a fact. We have read Mahabharata before coming to ISKCON. We all thought Kunti is an ordinary woman. She's the mother of the Pandavas. She's the aunt of Krishna. But in her prayers, she reveals Krishna is not simply her nephew. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And in the first three prayers, she reveals who is Krishna and can the world see and know him. In the first verse, she answers that question. Then in the second verse, she says, why people cannot see Krishna? She answers that question. And the third verse, she explains who can see Krishna and how can we see Krishna. So first she says, Namasye purusham tvadyam ishvara prakrite param alakshyam sarvabhutanam antar bahiravastitam. Krishna, you are not simply my nephew, you are purusham tvadyam, you are the original supreme personality of Godhead. And there may be many Ishwaras, but you are prakrite param, you are beyond this material nature. And Ishwara, Chandra, there may be many Chandra, Surya, there may be many Ishwaras, but Krishna is Parameshwara. And then she is saying, but alakshyam, you are invisible to all. You cannot be known, you cannot be seen. Although antar bahir avasthitam, although you are inside and outside of everything, she is revealing how Krishna is a puzzle for the common man. Because she herself is seeing that Krishna, just a few moments before, he saved her grandson, Parikshit's Abhimanyu's son, Parikshit, who was in the womb of his mother Uttara. Krishna entered the womb and protected the child from the Brahmastra. And Krishna was also existing outside. Antar bahir avasthitam. What an amazing personality Krishna is. And she is explaining this fact and saying that you are the Supreme Lord and you are a puzzle for the common man. Common man cannot know you. And then she reveals in the next verse why people cannot see Krishna. Why people cannot know him. Maya javani kachannam agyadokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudadrisha nato natya dharoyatha. Javanika means covered. Maya javani kachannam. Krishna is covered by his own Maya potency. Curtain of Maya. And agya, the foolish people, they cannot see that Krishna is transcendental. Na lakshase muda drisha. Muda, who is being explained in this verse today also. Mudas, foolish people cannot see Krishna because he is nato natya dharoyata. He is like an expertly dressed actor who is dancing. When an expert actor comes, we cannot know who it is. Similarly, Krishna performs such amazing pastimes. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, such superhuman activities Krishna performed even as a baby. Just on the lap of his mother Yashoda, he killed Putana when he was just a few days old. And then he lifted the Govardhan hill as a young boy. Prabhupada says, like a child lifts a frog's umbrella. And then Krishna killed so many asuras, he performed so many pastimes. So many evidences are there, but people cannot accept. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says three reasons why people cannot accept Krishna. Why people do not understand Krishna. First, he says, is because of poor fund of knowledge. They don't have knowledge. Whatever knowledge they have is avidya, is actually ignorance. And what is avidya? When knowledge is used for sense gratification, that is not actually knowledge. So people do not know Krishna, people cannot understand Krishna because they don't have knowledge about Krishna. But if we carefully observe, just this human body, it is said it has trillions and trillions of cells. The number of cells in one human body is said to be, the number is astonishing. 10 raised to the power 15, 15. That means how many zeros will be there? 15 zeros. So what will be that number? Huge number. So many cells. In fact, it is said that one human brain has around 40 billion cells. One brain. But still it doesn't work. People can't understand that. People can't understand that Krishna is God, you know. So that is a tragedy. People have knowledge. And whatever knowledge they have, it is used for how to make eating, sleeping, sex life and defending better. And the whole research is on how this can become better and better and more sophisticated. And no endeavor is made to understand God. Recently somebody sent me a mail of the advertisement propaganda for, like, you know, we have different products being advertised. So in Sweden, one company is advertising their toilets. They are experts in making toilets. So there's a poster, advertising poster is of a toilet commode, and it's, you know, gracious, elegant and smooth. They have put like that. And the photo of that toilet. And the slogan, you know what is the slogan of that company? Feel like a king. Means you sit on that toilet and you feel so relaxed, you know, you feel like a king. As if that toilet seat is a throne and you're a king. You're a king. So it's amazing. Just imagine, so much is going in the name of advancement, in the name of technology. Basically, this is what is going on. That's why Prabhupada would call this as avidya, because how will this actual knowledge help? So basically, we say avidya because there is glamorization of insignificant temporary things in this world. Those things are glorified. Glorification of Krishna is considered to be waste of time. And that's why out of compassion, Srila Prabhupada would call them mudha. That's why Kunti Devi is saying they cannot see Krishna. He's performing such wonderful pastimes. So this is one reason. Lack of knowledge, poor fund of knowledge, Prabhupada says. Second, imperfect senses. We try to understand Krishna through our own imperfect senses. And third, he says, stubborn obstinacy. Obstinacy means stubborn. But repeated, you know, two adjectives, just to emphasize how people are just, Prabhupada in another place says, causeless unwillingness. Just unwilling to accept Krishna. Just like Duryodhan. Duryodhan saw, you know, during the middle of the war, at one stage when Krishna was trying to kill Jayadrath, Arjuna was trying to kill Jayadrath, and at one point of time, Duryodhan realized, this Krishna is working, you know, he is doing everything. And at one point of time, he gets the realization. This is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is doing this. And then immediately he says, but I will kill Arjuna. No, we will stop him. He cannot touch Jayadrathi. That causeless unwillingness, stubborn. I don't want to accept Krishna. And so for such people, the material energy, she pulverizes them. She crushes them eventually. And they can see it happening. But material energy is so amazing. Shyamananda Prabhu was saying recently that Maya is so expert, she will ensure that everybody in the world doesn't suffer at the same time. She'll make some people happy and she'll see that some people are suffering very badly, because she's expert. She knows that if everybody starts suffering at the same time, then they will all come together and form a union and declare that this material world is a miserable place and we should go back home, back to God. So she doesn't want them to do that. So like that, material energy is very expert. So Kunti Devi has first revealed how Krishna is the Supreme Lord and he is not known to everyone. Why he is not known? Because people is covered by the illusory energy. Then is the most important verse. She reveals who can see Krishna and how can we see Krishna. So there she is saying, Tata paramahansanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartam katam pashye mahistriya. Those pure devotees who are free from all contamination, my dear Lord, and those who engage in bhakti yoga vidhanartam, those who accept bhakti yoga, they can see you, my dear Lord, and they can know you. But how can I? I'm a less intelligent woman. How can I see you? Now, this is a very, very important verse, because here she is revealing two things. One is who can see Krishna through bhakti, those who practice bhakti yoga. And second, she is revealing the mood in which one has to practice devotional service. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Kunti Devi actually has realized Krishna. She is seeing Krishna. She has accepted Krishna wholeheartedly. But she presents herself as a foolish, less intelligent person And that way, she is attracting Krishna's mercy. This is a very, very important point. Prabhupada writes there that Krishna is not known to greatest scientists, intelligent people, philosophers, because Krishna knows the sincerity of purpose. So if somebody is very sincere, Krishna knows that. And there he writes that another very classic sentence Srila Prabhupada writes, simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere, religious fervor. Beautiful sentence. Sincere acceptance of the Lord, which Kunti Devi is displaying, is more effective than showy, insincere, religious fervor. And this is the hallmark of a devotee, whether somebody is simple like Kunti Devi or even Maharaj Pratap Rudra. When he meets Sarvam Bhattacharya and he says, my dear Sarvam Bhattacharya, I heard that this great sannyasi Mahashay has come to your from Gaudadesh, has come here. Is it true? Can I get his darshan? And Bhattacharya said, no, my dear king, he is a virakta sannyasi teho rahena nirjan swapne na kare Raja Darshan. Even in the dream he will not meet the king. He is a strict sannyasi. But anyway, I would have actually talked about you to the Lord, to Lord Chaitanya, but he is left. He has gone to South India. Then again, Param Bhattacharya says, but why he went to South India? Then Bhattacharya says, because he wants to deliver all the people in South India. Then the king says, but why did you let him go? You should have stopped him. Payapadi yatna kari Kenona Rakhile, why did you not fall at his feet and stop him? I want his darshan. So then Bhattacharya says, how can I stop him? Swayam Bhagwan, he is Ishwara Swatantra. Sri Krishna Sakshat Teho Nahi Paratantra. He cannot be stopped by anyone. He is Sri Krishna, Supreme Lord. So when the king hears for the first time from Sarvam Bhattacharya that this great soul who has come from Gaudadesh, he is actually Supreme Lord, then immediately he says, Raja kahe bhatta tumi vigya shiromani, tumi tanre Krishna kahe tate satyamani. Oh Bhattacharya, you are vigya shiromani, you are the greatest learned scholar and you are my guru and you are saying he is Krishna. Oh, I accept it. So there Prabhupada says this simplicity of accepting the spiritual master's instructions. This is the qualification. And then of course later on we see the whole pastime, how he reveals his non-enviousness, his determination, and his humility. So through these qualities, one can actually know Krishna. One can actually see Krishna. And Kunti Devi, by presenting herself as less intelligent and foolish, she is revealing how she is qualified to know Krishna. And others may be rebellious and may make a show of advanced knowledge, but they may be bereft of knowledge about Krishna. And the proof is, Srila Prabhupada writes in the next verse, although Kunti Devi is saying, I cannot know you, Krishna, I cannot see you, but in the next verse, she is revealing Krishna's identity to the whole world and thus proves how she has understood Krishna perfectly. In the next verse, this is the famous verse, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama. So she is saying, Krishna, in the previous verse she has said, how can I know you? I am less intelligent, I am foolish. But the next verse is saying, Krishna, you are Vasudev. And Srila Prabhupada writes there that generally, even impersonalists call the absolute truth as Vasudev. But they call the absolute truth as Vasudev because they want, the Vasudev also means all pervading. So they want to say how the absolute truth is impersonal, all pervading. But Kunti Devi is defeating the greatest Mayavadis by saying Krishna is Vasudev, but not impersonal Vasudev. He is Devaki Nandana. He is the son of Devaki. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, he is the darling child of Nanda Maharaj and all the Gopas of Vrindavan. And Govindaya, he is the protector of the cows. So like this, she is systematically establishing Krishna's position. And then she offers beautiful prayers. So basically in Krishna consciousness, to actually realize Krishna, this simplicity is needed. This simplicity of wanting to accept the Vedic scriptures, the authority. And when that simplicity is there, then everything falls in place. All the jigsaw, all the confusions, everything, all the hazy things, they go away. And how is this simplicity achieved? Somebody may say, I want to be simple. You know, my heart is so crooked. I am so complicated. I want to become simple hearted. It is so difficult to be simple because of the modern propaganda and the way we are brainwashed. So simplicity is attained when we have a culture of regularly hearing submissively, sincerely, Krishna Katha. So the false ego gets dissolved because we are not speaking. Hearing means, you know, we are basically unspoken message when hearing is, I don't know what is the truth, I want to know. So that is actually, that is simplicity, that is humility to just sit and hear about Krishna. That makes the heart soft. Classic example for this is in the 10th canto. Few chapters later we'll see how Krishna delivers the wives of the Yagic Brahmanas. So there, very interesting, the Krishna sends his friends to go and get, because they are all hungry. So Krishna tells them, go and get food from the Yagic Brahmanas. They are performing sacrifices nearby. So when these boys go and tell these Brahmanas that Krishna and Balaram are here, they are hungry, please give food. What do these Brahmanas do? Iti te bhagavat yachnam shrinvatopi na shushruva. They heard the appeal on behalf of the Lord. They heard it, shrinvato pi na shushruva, but they could not hear it. Like pashyan api na pashyati. Why? Because their heart was filled with petty material desires. Shudrasha bhuri karmano. Now Sukadeva Goswami uses a nice phrase here. He says, balisha vruddha manina. They were childish fools, but they thought they were very learned and intelligent. Because they could not, the boys are telling them, Krishna and Balaram are here, they are hungry, please give food. But they are not able to give. And then what happens? Then they go back to Krishna and Krishna says, don't be disappointed. Sometimes while begging you get results, sometimes you don't get. You know, like book distribution, sometimes you get scores, sometimes you don't get. So this is the nature of the world. So don't worry, go to the wives of the Brahmanas who are also very simple hearted and they will give you. So when these boys go there to these women, the wives of these Brahmanas, immediately they become so happy to hear that Krishna and Balaram are here and they want food. Chaturvida bahuganam anna madaya bhajane abhishashru priyam sarva samudram iva nimnaga. Just like the rivers rush towards the ocean, all these women ran with whatever prasad they had, whatever food they had for the yagya, priyam sarva, all of them ran towards Krishna to give him. It's amazing that exact opposite. And look at the contrasting verse. In the next verse, Sukadeva Goswami says that they were stopped by their husbands, their brothers, their children. Nishidyamana patibir, bratibir, bandubi saha, bhagavati uttama shloke dirga shruta dhritashaya. Although they were stopped, but they ran because their hearts was captured by Krishna. And there is a nice phrase he using, dirga shruta dhritashaya. Because they had been hearing about Krishna for a long time. So they had developed that spontaneous love for Krishna. Contrast this with the husbands, shrinvatopi na shushrusha. They heard from the boys, but they could not. Because their heart was filled with petty material desires and they were attached to all these fruitive activities. But here were these women, dirga shruta dhritashaya. For a long time, they were hearing about Krishna. So this hearing submissively is actually the solution for developing that simple heart and the ability to accept Krishna's supreme position. You know, this has psychologically two effects when we hear submissively. One is our intelligence starts getting adjusted. Like, you know, before coming to ISKCON, we may have a lot of desire to enjoy lust and so many other things, greed. So when we hear regularly, it's not that those desires will go away. We may still have lust and greed. But what happens? The intelligence starts getting adjusted. So we hear submissively and then we start thinking, oh, now also I want to enjoy, but I think this is wrong. This desire to enjoy is wrong. This kind of intelligence starts developing because of hearing. And second thing, along with the adjustment of the intelligence, the heart also starts getting purified because we are not hearing ordinary sound. We are hearing transcendental sound vibration. So because this is Krishna Katha, this purifies the heart. And therefore, this is a sign of humility. Because hearing is actually not easy. It's not that, you know, it's not easy to sit and hear somebody speaking, because in material consciousness, you know, in a conditioned state, we like to speak. like, you know, I may like to speak a lot, because speaking is a sign of being in control, or, you know, you are the boss and you hear me. That kind of, so if somebody is naturally inclined to hear and somebody is sincerely hearing, that means he is humble. A simple example, you know, when you're talking to somebody sometimes and that person goes on speaking and you feel, when will you stop so that I can speak? We feel like that. Because that speaking is natural. So given that conditioned nature, if somebody is sitting and hearing Krishna Katha, that's humility. That's a sign of humility. I remember last Gaur Purnima festival, we had some devotees from morning 5 o'clock in the temple hall, they were sitting till 11 in the night. They didn't get up. And some devotees didn't even go to break the fast outside. They were in the temple hall. Somebody bought them the... They were just... Because not, whole day we had kirtan and katha. They were just hearing. For this is actually very, very positive, very healthy, because this makes the heart simple, soft, and we are able to appreciate Krishna. And Kali Yuga, it's all the more easy because now we have Lord Chaitanya. You know, even if Krishna pastimes you are not able to understand, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are so sweet and so much nectar is there. And what more proof or evidence we need, you know, about Lord Chaitanya's divinity, the way Lord Chaitanya performed such amazing pastimes. You know, a billionaire, multi-billionaire Raghunath Das Goswami, he is attracted by Lord Chaitanya. What power of attraction he had. And ministers in high government position like Roop and Sanatan, they were prime minister and finance ministers of the country of Bengal, which included that time the present Bangladesh also, huge country, bigger than many European countries. So the prime minister and finance minister of that country, they are mad to join Lord Chaitanya. There's a multi-billionaire Raghunath Das Goswami running to Lord Chaitanya. And look at the contrast. Now these are the high class people. And then we have drunkards like Jagai Madai, you know, delivered by Lord Chaitanya. And then super intellectuals like Saravam Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati with thousands of disciples, they become impressed by Lord Chaitanya. And even miracles like Vasudev leper, Lord Chaitanya embraced him and cured him of his leprosy. And then, okay, human beings. Lord even transformed the heart of a tiger. He kicked the tiger and said, how long will you keep sleeping in the lap of Maya? Get up and chant Hare Krishna. And the tiger, you know, its vocal cords changed. Its heart changed. And he roared, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So the tiger also chanted Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya brought the dead son of Srivast Thakur back to life. So if you see the kind of pastimes, the variety of transformations is, it's mind-boggling. But still, you know, because of our anarthas, we get doubt. Oh, we have heard Lord Chaitanya's mission will spread 10,000 years, but we don't see it happening. Sometimes we see people leaving the movement. We get confused. We get bewildered. So Fachinandan Maharaj once answered this question very beautifully. He said, Lord Chaitanya has planted the seed of Krishna Prem. And he said, the seed remains invisible for some time. The seed is under the ground, it remains invisible. But in due course of time, it will germinate. It will fructify. And then he gave a nice example. He said, by delivering one Jagai Madai, Lord Chaitanya was planting the seed for future deliverance of all Jagais and Madais. And then Maharaj gave his own example, Satyanandan Maharaj, about how, what he was doing before becoming Hare Krishna devotee. And then he said, so you can see, so we are all Jagai Madais, and we got a chance. I was hearing one lecture of Srila Prabhupada. This was in Bombay, 1973, Cross Maidan, Pandal. So he spoke this pastime of Jagai Madai deliverance. And then he said, Lord Chaitanya delivered one Jagai Madai. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, today we are delivering wholesale Jagais and Madais. So I like that, wholesale. So wholesale, so that Lord Chaitanya planted that seed. So by delivering one Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya was planting the seed for future billionaires becoming Krishna conscious. By delivering one Gopal Chappal, the Lord Chaitanya was planting the seed for future deliverance of offenders. We have hope in Lord Chaitanya. So we have to serve sincerely. With an open heart, we have to hear and accept this process of Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, this simplicity we are not able to develop, because we are, you know, completely hypnotized by Maya. We are completely like puppets. Somebody had shown me one, we have one video which we show in our prerna lectures, and a bingo, you know, there's one boy And he is convinced that he is a clown. He said, I'm not Bingo the clown. And everybody bombard, and finally is convinced. So we are convinced sense gratification will give pleasure. Devotional service is a nonsense activity. So we are brainwashed like that. That's why this is the right word for Maya, hypnotist. Now, hypnotist is someone who convinces you that what you are not. Many years ago in television, there was a show where hypnotism was shown. What is hypnotism? So all the audience was sitting for the host said, so he's an hypnotist. And what, you know, you have to show your skill. So one person from the audience was called and he was standing next to the hypnotist and he said, what if this? So that was onion. Everybody could see it was onion. So this, the person whom he was trying to hypnotize, he also said it is onion. And his hypnotist said, no, this is a sweet orange, isn't it? He said, no. And then the whole thing started, how he hypnotized him and convinced him that this is a sweet orange. And everybody is watching, you know, it's an onion. So then he said, if it's a sweet orange, then you should eat the orange. So this man, you know, he's completely hypnotized and he says, yes, yes, yes. But then he started peeling the onion, thinking it's an orange. And then he started eating it also. And he's crying tears. So that host said, but you're eating onion. He said, no, this is orange. He said, no, but you are seeing the tears in your eyes. He said, oh, this is tears of joy. I'm feeling joyful. So completely hypnotized. So that's how Maya hypnotizes us. We are convinced. Sense gratification, lot of pleasure, lot of enjoyment is there. And somebody comes and tells us, but sir, a devotee comes and tells us, you're suffering. You know, it's equivalent to the person crying because of eating onion. You are miserable, you're crying, no, this misery is increasing the taste of the joy that I'm going to experience out of sense gratification. People are convinced, they are so completely brainwashed. So we lose, our heart becomes hard. Devamrut Maharaj was saying once that, it's not that if you do sense gratification and justify the sense gratification process, it's not that we can also understand Krishna. He says, no, when we justify, see, one may slip towards sense gratification. That's a different subject matter. We are not, that's okay. Somebody may be sincerely struggling, slipping, running towards Krishna. That's okay. But when we have a whole philosophy weaved around it and justifying sense gratification, that takes out the brain substance to understand Krishna. That takes out the softness of the heart. So therefore, we have to take shelter of this process of Krishna consciousness here. That's what Maitreya Rishi, when he starts replying to Vidura, that's what he says. He says, I'm going to speak Bhagavatam now because this is the solution for all the misery. Soham rinam kshulla sukhaya dukkham mahat gatanam viramaya tasya pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishibhya. He's saying that people in this world, for shulla sukha, for little happiness, they are undergoing dukkha mahat, great dukkha. Viramaya tasya. Only hope is pravartaye bhagavatam puranam. Srimad Bhagavatam katha is the only hope. And because this was given by yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishibhya, Lord himself has given it to the rishis, and I am going to speak Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada in that purport, he comments that for the benefit of humanity, Maitreya Rishi, out of compassion, is proposing that I will speak on Srimad Bhagavatam first and last. Means, he is only going to speak Bhagavatam, nothing else. So this is the most special scripture that we have, Srimad Bhagavatam, which brings out the glory of the Supreme Lord, and by consistently coming to these classes, hearing about Krishna, purifying our hearts, we will develop that simplicity and we will be able to accept Krishna's supreme position. And then we will also be able to pray like Kunti Devi, that let my heart be completely drawn towards you. Tvai me ananya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit rati mudvahata dadda gange vogam udanvati. She is saying, my dear Lord, that ananya vishaya, let me only focus on you. And she is saying, matir madhu pate sakrit. Asakrit means, let my attraction towards you be continuously, not just once. You know, we say that Lord has said, even if somebody chants once, I will deliver him. Sakrit eva prapannoyam tava asmiti yachate. Lord Ram said, sakrit eva. Once if you chant my name or you say, I am yours, I will take care. But the devotee's mood is not that he says, okay, I chanted once yesterday nicely. No. Asakrit, continuously he wants to be attracted to Krishna. And mati, Matir Madhupate Asakrit Ratim. Mati and Rati, both. Mati means attention. He wants his intelligence to be fixed on Krishna. And Rati, he wants his attraction also. Both intelligence and heart is completely nourished and satisfied by Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, those who are intellectual type, they can get such so many verses and so much of nourishment for the mind and intelligence is there. And at the same time, these prayers, if you read prayers of Rudrasur, Kunti Devi, Prahlad Maharaj's instructions, they contain deep transcendental emotions of the heart. At the same time, there is penetrating philosophical understanding also. For Kunti Devi, she is ultimately saying that of all this, after all her prayers, she is saying, Ratim Udvahata, you know, I want my attraction towards you to overflow, Adha, directly towards you. Just like Ganga, river Ganges is flowing towards the ocean. So like that, if we offer sincere prayers to Krishna, which will develop if you have a simple heart, and simple heart will develop when we have a culture of consistently hearing Krishna Katha. So with this culture, then what Srila Prabhupada is saying here, that you know, we can see Krishna's greatness. We can, what is obvious to the pure devotee, he's saying this is obvious. He's Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has performed so many pastimes. From the beginning of his life, he killed Putana and so many demons. So all these things we can understand and accept. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Any comments or questions? Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.